Amen. I'm glad for my Savior. Praise the Lord. And I'm glad in Memorial Day, as it was established, and Brother Bob's going to come, but it established during the Civil War period in the month of May because of the flowers and live flowers that would decorate graves during this time of year. And I love this time of year. I love when spring comes in Buchanan County, and the red bud and those golden flowers and the dogwood bloom and the azaleas are blooming and the tulips bloom and the iris bloom and the roses bloom and flowers bloom. Oh, I get a little carried away here. Just take a deep breath and smell the fragrance, amen.
Good morning. What a privilege to be in church, and what a privilege to have church on Memorial Day. Well, I don't take this day lightly, church. Neither is a day of worship, nor is a day of remembrance. And I would ask, before I start, any veterans in the service this morning, would you rise? I stand with you. I also served 4 years in the United States Army. And I truly believe that we're the lucky ones, Brother Joe. But today's not about us. Today is about those that gave their life that we could stand here today. So before I go any further, I would like to bring this American flag out about halfway over here. It's beautiful, is it not? If you'd have been here this morning, maybe I'll invite you next year, Memorial Day, 6 o'clock, right out here out front. You can join us around our flagpole as we take Old Glory half-mast, as it should be done across America. She'll hang that way until around noon, then she'll go down, she'll go to the top. In honor of those that are no longer here, but standing tall for our country still today. But the gentleman that thought of this, that made this possible, really had this flag in sight. Brother Jeff, would you bring a Christian flag out here? It's beautiful, the stars and the stripes. More beauty in this cross I see. The freedom that they died for there, he died for here. The founders of our nation recognized his cost and that they would have to pay a cost. 1868, the Civil War, General John Logan issued a proclamation calling for a special day each year to decorate the graves of the men who had died during the Civil War. His proclamation read in part, "The 30th day of May, 1868, is designated for the purpose of strewing with flowers and otherwise decorating the graves of comrades who died in defense of their country during the late rebellion, and whose bodies lie in almost every city, village, and hamlet, church courtyard in the land." Initially, the annual commemoration was known as Decoration Day. We remember that. Yeah, yeah. By 1890, every state recognized Decoration Day. And you realize back then, 13 states, and then they kept growing and growing. And in 1890, we were somewhere around 41, maybe somewhere up in there, maybe even 42. But every state recognized Decoration Day. In 1918, after World War I, the name Decoration Day was changed to Memorial Day in order to commemorate those who died in all American wars. In 1968, the Uniform Monday Holiday Act, change Memorial Day to the last day in May. That took effect in 1971. So here we are, the last day of May, Memorial Day. Not to be confused with Veterans Day. Again, as I said in the beginning, Memorial Day is to remember those who died so that we could be free. Veterans Day, yeah, we'll give you gentlemen honor. Thank you. Today is for those who've already done it. You know, you look at the Bible and you think about, is war really there? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Isaiah 13:3, I have commanded my sanctified one. I have also called my mighty ones for my anger, those who rejoice in my exaltation. You can go to Chronicles 5:22, Revelations 19:11. Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called faithful and true. In righteousness he judges and makes war. Throughout the Bible, many references. God performing miracles on behalf of military operations. Exodus 14, the parting of the Red Sea. Exodus 17, God allowed the Israelites to defeat the Amalekites. In Joshua 6, the fall of Jericho, that was a military operation. March. Marching is part of the military. Joshua 10, God held the sun still, so Joshua's army had time to defeat the Amorites. Genesis 14, Abraham, the father of our faith, gave a tithe of his war winnings to Melchizedek. It goes on in 1 Samuel 17, of course, the story of David and Goliath. 1 Samuel 18 says, so the women sang as they danced and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Freedom isn't free, is it? Came with a great price. A few presidential quotes for you. Religion and morality are the essential pillars of civil society. George Washington. I love this one. John Adams, 1798. Apply this to today, will you? We have no government armed with power, capable of contending with human passions unbridled by morality and religion. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. There are a good many problems before American people today and before me as president, but I expect to find the solution to those problems just in proportion that I am faithful in the study of the Word of God. Woodrow Wilson. On May 14, 1948, this country, America, recognized the existence of the independent state of Israel. Harry Truman, about 4 minutes after Israel declared their independence, was on the radio. I was informed by the Honorable Elihu Epstein that a provisional government has been established in Israel. This country recognized the provisional government as the de facto authority of the new state of Israel. When a permanent government is elected in Israel, it will promptly be given du jour recognition. Harry Truman. I go on. More to my day. Without God, there is no virtue because there is no prompting of the conscience. And without God, democracy will not and cannot long endure. If we ever forget that we are one nation under God, we will be one nation gone under. Same man said, God's miracles are to be found in nature itself, the wind and waves, the wood that becomes a tree. All of these are explained by biologically, but behind them is the hand of God. Amen. Ronald Reagan also said, America was founded by people who believed that God was their rock of safety. I recognize we must be cautious in claiming that God is on our side, but I think it's all right to keep asking if we're on his side. Franklin D. Roosevelt, those who have long enjoyed such privileges as we enjoy forget in time that men have to die to win them. General Douglas MacArthur, it is foolish and wrong to mourn the men who died. Rather, we should thank God such men lived. Norman Schwarzkopf, it doesn't take a hero to order men into battle. It takes a hero to be one of those men who go into battle. God's gifting of war. God has gifted many individuals to be fighters. Psalm 144 and 1. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for the battle. Approximately 1.2 million military personnel of these United States has given their lives in war. Today, if you were in Arlington National Cemetery, you would see some 400,000 graves decorated with this flag. We're doing the right thing when we remember and honor them. Romans chapter 13 and verse 7, render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to who customs, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. I have two gentlemen in mind that I think about as heroes, decorated soldiers. I may not go through all of this because I still have some more to do, but that smartphone that you carry, Brother Meekum, I loved your message last night. Thank you. Thank you for preaching God's word and for hearing God's voice. But I encourage you today, church, maybe you take that smartphone and when you get back down there where you get signal, and you look up a gentleman's name of Desmond, D-E-S-M-O-N-D, Doss, D-O-S-S. Good Virginian, born over around Lynchburg, fought in World War I. Excuse me, in World War II. Desmond Doss was a conscientious objector. He wouldn't carry a gun, but he wanted to serve his country. He did, and he didn't carry a gun. The United States Army tried to put him out because he wouldn't carry a gun. He said, my faith will not allow me to carry a gun. Oh, they gave him a hard time. How can you be a soldier without a gun? How can you go into battle? You're going to get killed. It's okay. I can be an aide. Put that red cross on my arm. I'll take care of the wounded. I want to serve. Desmond, I want to serve. He served. Medal of Honor recipient, Okinawa, Japan. There was a cliff before him, some 400 feet. I've looked at pictures of this cliff. It wasn't a direct ascent of 400 feet. It was kind of like the mountains around here, a gradual, but then with a steep cliff at the top. That cliff at the top was some 120 feet, could only be attained by rope. Our soldiers had to take the high point because that's where the Japanese were. We sent battalion after battalion up there. Desmond was one of them, to bring back the wounded. We fell back when nightfall came. We were overran. Japs were dug in pretty hard. Desmond didn't come down. Over the next 48 hours, Desmond Doss rescued somewhere between 75 and 100 wounded American soldiers, at times going more than 200 yards beyond the front line to get the wounded, to lower them down by a rope, and he wouldn't carry a gun. He stood true to his faith. Then I give you a gentleman that was born at the end of that war. Excuse me. Let me tell you one other thing about Mr. Doss. He wasn't a general. He wasn't a captain. When they pinned his Medal of Honor with a V on it for valor on his chest, he had two stripes. A corporal. A common soldier. At the end of World War II, another man was born, Jerry Boykins. Jerry was from North Carolina. We claim him as part of a Virginian since he graduated from Virginia Tech, joined the military, rose to the rank of general. General Boykin was the first leader of the Delta Force. He got a call on a Friday afternoon from one of his commanders and said, "Hey, Captain, we have a mission for you. It's in North Carolina. Will you take it?" Jerry said, "Let me think about it." I said, "Okay, you got till 4 o'clock. Jerry said, "I did what any good American would do. Hung up the phone. I called Mom." See, Mom's a praying mom down in North Carolina. Jerry got to head up Delta Force. Jerry got to lead a lot of men to battle. General Boykins was a man of God. He never went to battle without first gathering all his men around him, maybe in a Quonset hut, maybe in a plane hangar, but he gathered all his men before he went into war and let them know exactly what they were headed into and bowed their head and prayed in the name of Jesus for his protection. Jesus, my men, our mission, our country, your name. We go with your guidance. Many, many stories about General Boykin, but the one that I'll relate to you happened in the desert as they were preparing to go into Somalia. They were on a refueling expedition, exercise. C-130 planes came in with all the fuel. They had a bunch of helicopters that needed the fuel. This takes place on the ground. Big hoses running from the C-130 over to the helicopter, putting the fuel in. One of the helicopter pilots, when he got ready to take off, he went vertigo. He didn't know which end was up. He crashed into the C-130, and the C-130 crashed and started bursting into flames. Excuse me. General Boykins was about 100 yards away. He said he, with the other men that around him, immediately turned and started to leave. Jerry said, "I took two steps and said, oh no, Jesus, you brought me here. You brought those 45 men that are in that C-130 here. You promised us." And Jerry said, "I turned around and I called on the name of Jesus." Church, put this in your mind. 45 soldiers inside an aircraft full of fuel, already on flames. They're just waiting for the explosion. Jerry said, "I prayed. Oh God, don't let them die." About that time, the side door on that C-130 opened up, and 45 soldiers came out of that aircraft. Jerry's got many stories like that. He also tells one of a neighborhood bully who ran amok as long as others were afraid and let him do it. He was bigger, he was meaner, he was stronger. He had a following, little gang, you know how bullies are? Sometimes bullies are politicians, if you didn't realize that. Get their little gangs. "You're going to be on my side?" Until someone takes a stand, it always continues. Bullies never quit until someone takes the initiative to stand between them and their victim. Recall Goliath, or Hitler, or Saddam, or bin Laden, or the devil himself. That's why we need warriors like you. John 15 and 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man, this flag, lay down his life for his friend. Remember me, America. We see these soldiers in our mind as old and wise. We see them as something like our founding fathers, grave and gray-haired. But most of them were boys when they died, and they gave up two lives, the one they were living and the one they would have lived. When they died, they gave up their chance to be husbands and fathers and grandfathers. They gave up their chance to be revered old men. They gave up everything for our country, for us. All we can do is remember. I heard the testimony of a young African missionary. I'm not sure exactly when the time was, but I found his testimony very, very appropriate. I mean, because are we not all in a war? Do we not all fight for cause? Are we all not called soldiers for the cross? This African missionary lost his freedom for preaching the word of Jesus Christ. They came to his home to get him, taking him to jail. They found, it was very interesting, when they closed the door, set inside his little home. For on the back of the door, they found this writing. I'm part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have God. Die has been cast. I've stepped over the line. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away. My past is deep. The presence makes sense. My future is deep. I am finished with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth deep. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, platitudes. I don't have to be right or be perfect or be on top or recognized or reward or love. I will live by faith. I will lean on his presence. I will walk by patience, be lifted by prayer. My goal is heaven. My road is narrow. My way may be rough. My companions may be few. My guide is reliable. My mission is clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice or hesitate in the presence of adversity. Or negotiate at the table of the enemy, or ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up, shut up, let up, till I have stored up, stayed up, prayed up, paid up, and preached up for my Lord and Savior.
I am a disciple of Jesus, and I will boldly come. I will give till I drop. I will preach till all know, and work till he comes for me. He will not have a problem recognizing who I am. My banner will be hanging high. Memorial Day.
Are we soldiers?
Yeah.
Are we ready? Thank you. Thank you, church. Thank you, visitors. God bless you all.